Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Live from Eggplant Picture and Sound, it's Footy Prime the Podcast with Craig Forrest, James Sharman, and...
Guys, where's Danny? I heard that. Is it? Okay. So we need somebody to cover... is that the janitor?
Excuse me, sir. Come in here. Mind being on the show today?
What's your name, sir?
Brendan.
Never heard of you. Sorry, guys. So you'll have to deal with this Brendan character. Put down your mop bucket and away you go. This should be good.
Thanks, JC.
Great.
It's really... Christ, the best we could do was this guy. Really?
I just think it's great that we're being progressive. I mean, usually Portuguese are stereotyped as builders, not cleaners. So I think that's positive.
I ain't going anywhere near that one.
Trailblazer. Okay. So that's why your name is Dunlop.
Dunlopsch.
Dunlopsch to make it sound really Portuguese. Yeah. But yeah, I have to explain this all the time. So for your new listeners, it's my mother that's Portuguese. I don't have the name. But it's something that I feel like throughout my entire professional career, I'm constantly being asked to answer for.
Did you know that his dad was a professional race car champion?
Race car driver, yes.
F1.
Not quite. That's an exaggeration. But it's a hilarious exaggeration that's happened over the years.
How come that's the first time we've ever heard this? That's so odd.
Because you've been listening to the Footy Show podcast, obviously, for many years.
Yeah.
In front of him for years.
It's not true.
But we've only known him for 10 years, 15 years. Yeah.
What were you doing in 2008 on Mondays between 12 and 1? You didn't hear that story?
Masturbation. Always.
What was your mom's maiden name?
Felix.
Is that why you're Brendan Felix Dunlop?
That's Felix is actually my middle name.
I thought Felix would be a Christian. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You thought Felix would be a what?
Felix the cat, like your Christian name, like a regular name.
Oh, my Christian name. Okay. Yeah, no, not like Felix the cat.
No, because I mean, you move like a cat.
Right, I am.
No, he doesn't.
Very stealthy. Yeah.
A dead one.
Fat cat.
A dead one that you hit on the road.
Oh, there was a... I've been playing with these 50-year-old construction worker guys, and I had a real stinker.
Not to feed into the Portuguese stereotype.
No, just to talk about how, COVID safe space, like obviously no one's getting within 6 feet of me. I can't get within 6 feet of anybody else. I mean, that was my point. 11 v 11. And this guy looked at me, and I think he played at the Club America, U8s. He looks at me and he says, "Hey, take the emergency break off." And he was right, I've been running the whole time with the emergency brake.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great insult. I never heard that before. Have you heard that before?
I have heard that before.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Not directed at you, though.
No. That's a really good line, though. I never heard that before.
Yeah.
Never. Must be some good lines on the football field there.
Pulling a caravan.
That's a good one, too.
Get that caravan off your back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
There's a couple phrases I've learned from Craig that I'd never heard before. On Saturday mornings, what did he just say? Worm burner. I'd never heard that.
Worm burner?
Worm burner.
When did he say that?
When there was some ball across the turf that they didn't lift, and he just blasted it across the turf.
I never heard you say that.
I mean, I don't remember, but I know.
It's a phrase you've used.
Yes, for sure.
It is, yeah. It's familiar to you. Daisy cutter is one that I would have used.
Yeah.
Right? You've heard that before, right?
I've heard that before, yeah.
Have you heard of Florence and the Machine?
Another old joke from the Footy Show days. A big band in the 80s, right?
Exactly.
She's Welsh?
Yeah, that's right. All right. That's right. Throwback. For the record, Danny is not dead. I was just joking. We wouldn't have been quite as...
Oh, I thought you were serious.
You can take that wipe that smile off your face now, Craig.
That's right. I was thinking he'd be in a big box.
But B's dad was a race car driver, and that's pretty cool.
He was
so he
a
went
race
from
car
a
driver.
Champion Formula One driver too. So he was a driver. Did he own his own car?
No, and it wasn't Formula One. No, he like lived in England for a few years. This is kind of where my English connection comes from. And he went to a race car driver school somewhere near Norwich and did it for a short spell and then realized, you know, you got to be super rich to do it and came back to Canada.
That's right.
It's a pretty cool story, though.
I'm trying to think of that track. Was it like Thetford or something?
I think Snetterton.
Snetterton.
Yeah.
Okay.
And got his limo Norwich. License, Snetterton. Right? His so he's been driving nonstop, limo, Uber, yeah, taxi. Right.
He'd take a great turn.
He was actually a truck driver, not a 18-wheeler, but he was a truck driver for a while. So I always said your life has been connected with your hands at the wheel.
But you got your love for race car driving and championships and
auto racing from that for sure.
Auto racing.
Yeah. I didn't watch Saturday morning cartoons. I watched qualifying sessions. Like, imagine that being four, being like, okay, Senna again. Great. Can I watch cartoons? No, because we need to watch the post show.
Let me ask you, Mick Schumacher, will he reach the heights of his father?
I don't think so. I don't think anyone will. Well, I mean, Lewis.
Now,
but I don't think anyone will be able to have that type of dominance after Lewis as well. I just think it's too tied to the car. And to be honest, with the wage cap coming in or the budget cap, I can't see a team dominating in the
same
fashion.
Is that
going to
be like financial fair play in football, or will it be relevant?
No, I don't think it'll be irrelevant. I think it's definitely going to have an impact in the beginning because of parity, because they need to, because Mercedes has run away with it for a decade now, and it's you know, for as lovable as Lewis can be, I don't think it's been great for the sport at all, and they need to see the other teams be involved and play. Otherwise, if they can't compete, these other teams won't spend that money as low as that budget cap is now.
You could be talking about professional soccer at this point, right?
Good.
Isn't that interesting? You know how we do get bored at times of dominating teams, dynasties, right? But in football, it does somewhat have two or three teams at least that can win it. Whereas F1, it's one, maybe two.
One and a half every season.
Yeah,
say.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
huh. Interesting.
Since we're talking about money, one of the things that I wanted to get your take on was what it must be like to be in that Tottenham change room and look around at this new guy coming in who Daniel Levy is paying £300,000 a week for, and that's only half of his salary. How would that feel?
Pretty great, because he's amazing still.
So if you're on £30,000 a week, yeah, that's my number, because Harry Redknapp said once.
Well, and then just the whole Tottenham philosophy, right?
Yeah.
And they haven't spent that amount of money, but
they haven't won either. I think it's a good move, isn't it? Do you think it's a good move?
Yeah.
What's the gamble is wages. That's it. It's a loan deal, right?
Yeah.
And the upside to this is enormous, because Gareth Bale is still a proper footballer. He's not playing much at Real Madrid, but that's not because of form.
When does his contract run out? The end of next season?
I think he might have another one after that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was part of the problem. For whatever reason, they re-upped him. And I don't know what the pay rise was, but I mean, £600,000 a week is insane.
It's ownership, right, versus management there. And I'm surprised that Zidane's actually lasted this long. I guess winning La Liga helps, because they wanted Bale to play. They brought him in. They re-signed him. This is all against Zidane. Zidane wanted this guy gone from day one for whatever reason.
Right.
So.
And that brief period there, I forget which six managers were there in between, but there was that brief period when Zidane wasn't about and Bale was getting a run. You thought, okay, this is the Bale that they bought, and like he still got it. It's just it didn't, for whatever reason, didn't work with Zidane, and now Zidane's back and he's been frozen out.
But Craig, I mean, the Premier League is not MLS, right? So everyone's making a decent buck there. Now, obviously not Gareth Bale money, but I can't imagine there was much envy towards other players in the room, isn't it? Well done, good for you for making the money.
Yeah, exactly. It would certainly open up some opportunities, maybe some conversations for yourself, you know, moving forward. But generally, when that sort of thing happened, you look at Bale and go, "Yeah, good for you." And he is. He was at Real Madrid for years. He's still got a lot to give, I think. I hope he does. I mean,
I think he does. Miles in the clock. I mean, he hasn't played much.
No.
And for Wales, he's always great.
And even if he has a couple of years, if he can do well over the next few years, even on loan, he's going to get another big move.
Mm-hmm. Although he'd be 33 by then, assuming he sticks around.
It all depends on his health, fitness, how he's living and everything.
Mm-hmm. He could end up at Everton. Who knows?
Well, they're the team to land at this point, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, my God.
There's a lot of sides that are exciting. Like Everton, look at like where are Wolves going to end up this year?
Playing today, we should mention that Wolves playing City later today, obviously before recording. The Blades, Sheffield United playing at the moment against Aston Villa. They're down a man. Twitter's exploding because of the red card to the Blades. I just been following this through Thomas Dobby on Twitter. Thomas Dobby, who you may or may not know, is a producer at Tim and Sid at Sportsnet, former Footy Show producer. The most one-eyed, blinkered, one-eyed United fan you will ever meet.
And Blue Jays fan.
And Blue Jays fan. Just follow Tom. If you don't follow sports like baseball or even football, not that you'd be listening to this podcast, just follow Tom and you'll just see what deep, dark holes a sports fan can crawl into in the course of 90 minutes or you know, 3 hours in the case of baseball.
We're talking about that blind faith. It exists.
He is Ray Charles of football fandom.
There's a lot of, like, tons of people like that. If their team's playing and if it's a penalty decision that's 50-50, you know which way it's going in their minds. It's
incredible. I mean, you're a huge sports fan. You love your Raptors, for example, right? Yeah. Let's not include football here, but say would you say basketball is your second sport as far as being a fan?
Well... But probably. I mean,
but you can watch Raptors and you can watch it with an impartial eye.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, watch it differently. There's a lot of similarities with basketball and football, like the movement, pass ball movement, pace of the game.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, I never had your experience in football, but when playing five-a-side or six-a-side, I always find the people who played basketball have a much better understanding of adapting that game. Mm-hmm. And then you have a libero, a center back, who ends up being a point guard. If you can run that in five-a-side football, you can be hugely successful.
Yeah.
Just don't have me on your team.
Yeah. That's why playing multi-sports as a kid is beneficial for whatever it is you want to direct yourself to eventually if you're good at something in particular. But
looking at the athleticism of basketball players, though, I mean, surely they could turn that into a soccer career.
Well,
it's been discussed a lot, right?
You know, it's true. But their height becomes almost a
hindrance.
A hindrance to them. Look at Siakam. I mean, he was a soccer player.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, outside of being in goal, you can't have a 6'8" right back. No. It'd be kind of cool to watch, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Center back, though, couldn't you?
Yeah. Like a Usain Bolt guy. I mean, he's 6'5".
Five, I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
Like he's big. He's my height.
But there's only one Usain Bolt. He's a freak. I say that with the best and all the respect in the world.
Yeah.
There's not many Usain Bolts who move that way.
6'5" could
Jesus.
Move like that. But why do you think you can have a 6'8" fullback?
Because he paces the thing, isn't it? Fullback position.
I think mobility. You need, how quick is it, is you playing against somebody like Messi size or something like that?
Yeah.
It's quick and it's not speed, right?
Like getting a yard past somebody who's 6'8", I mean... There's very few guys.
Think about the nutmeg possibilities.
Well, there's that, which is why I think at center back they'd be more vulnerable.
Maybe, but at least a center back, if you're really big, you can use your height just to your advantage.
Center backs,
6'4", 6'5", right? Not that many, but there's some. Yeah.
I guess I'm picturing, though, if they're playing football and they're 6'8", I'm actually picturing someone like Usain Bolt who's fast. So, like, why wouldn't you put him on the wing back? Well, because he's 6'8 and 280 and he plays in the NBA under the basket. Oh, that guy. Oh, you're putting Kelly Olynyk at right back.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Who's that?
He plays for the Miami Heat.
Okay, he's big.
He's Canadian. British Columbia.
Oh,
good,
does he?
Good BC boy.
Yeah.
Second most famous sports export from BC after Craig Ford.
Third. Steve Nash.
Terry Fox. I mean, not an athlete, but.
Yes.
But.
Right, but well known.
Yeah, he should be on our money.
Yeah.
He should.
Yeah.
I remember being, I was a kid in Portugal, and there was standing in line at the airport, there was some Brit who heard us have some conversation. He says, "Oh, you're Canadian. Oh, I love the ice hockey there. Do you know Joe Sakic?" And I went, "No." And he's like, "Oh, Joe Sakic, he's quite famous sportsman there. Yeah, I believe he plays in America." I look at my brother, Burnaby who's like Joe. 8, and he goes, "Does he mean Joe Sakic?" Yeah. And I was like, I think he does.
But his pronunciation, the true pronunciation of his name would be
Sakic.
Yeah.
Proper Brit.
Yeah. Remember...
the man, Sakic.
He's the Canadian boy, with the same sort of situation. Was that? I'm trying to think of his name.
In hockey?
No, soccer.
Oh. Oh, the... with defender?
Yeah, midfield defender.
Did he play with Dwayne at DC?
Yeah. Yes.
He's still playing, I think.
Yeah, or coaching or something like that. But anyway, the Croatian.
That's guy. Great when they don't know the name on a podcast.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, remember that Joe Sakic, guy.
Right.
You know, so Sakic, really, right? So they kind of just went with it.
There's a DC United player that had the same issue?
Well, there's a Canadian player.
Oh, Canadian player. Yeah.
I'm using Jasic.
Anti Jasic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He had a number of pronunciations.
Well,
he was in LA for a while, too.
Jasic.
Jasic.
But it's truly Jasic's, right? So.
Right.
But if that's the way his name is pronounced, so when you're broadcasting, of course, you're getting hammered by Croatians and you're pronouncing his name wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't win.
He can't win. Yeah. It's like, well, that's the way he wants it pronounced. So. Have a word with him.
I always wondered about that. When you're pronouncing, you know, covering sports and you're pronouncing names, should you pronounce it the way it's pronounced in the native language or do you anglicize it? I don't know why you'd anglicize it. I know we do, but why do we? Why don't we just get, if it's Antic, for example, in Croatia, then it should be Antic in Canada.
I think when the Americans landed in New York, they whatever their name was, they would just sort of bastardize it to try and sound more English.
So you couldn't handle it. Too confusing for those Americans.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Ante Jasic, by the way, never played for DC United.
That's
I was
LA.
Thinking of someone else.
LA for, he's there for
under Yallop, would have been for a while. Right. And he's retired, Ante Jasic.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was your birthday yesterday, Craig. Happy birthday.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
It was a good day. Lots on. Golf. Yeah. NFL, basketball,
so you just didn't leave
soccer,
the couch, basically?
Liverpool playing.
Didn't get bugged by anyone, just laid in your couch.
Pretty
and just
much,
wow,
yeah.
It's a good day.
Just have to say thanks for, you know, when people say happy birthday, you kind of feel
did you ever, like, copy and paste it? Like, yeah, thanks. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thanks.
It does that in our WhatsApp group anyways, doesn't it? It tells you what to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, happy birthday, Craig.
Predictive text.
Thanks.
Yeah, every time I text him, I get a, hope you are keeping safe and well. Yeah. It's like, oh, he's still got it set for March, is auto reply.
Fuck off.
I'm teasing.
No, you're right, though. Well, I mean, it's just a pleasantry, right?
Yeah.
Hope you're well.
Well, of course.
So a lot of the Footy Prime stuff is like...
Well, things you can't discuss.
One word answers.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
Dickio's X-rated on our
I know, field. Eh?
Lucky. He could be in jail, that guy.
Yeah, he should be.
He's a villain. He's a true villain. Yeah.
No, I'm a villain, and I've sacrificed watching them to be here with you idiots.
Yes, it's
do you
true.
Know the scores, or you trying
I do not
want
to know what the score is. I'm going to watch it on demand, which the digital capabilities allow me to. I can just, I've muted my notifications. I'm going to go back to some streaming
what
service.
What an asshole.
I know.
it's not 1-0 Villa. You know, he wishes. It's 1-0 Villa.
I will say it was a lot harder. I couldn't imagine being... My dad had it bad, being an F1 fan, like in the 90s. If someone had watched it, they'd spoil it for you. But chances are, here, no one had seen it because it was on tape delay by like 12 hours. Like when Ayrton Senna died, that race didn't air for 15 hours. It aired at night.
Was it when it did air? Do you remember it airing? Was it?
Yeah,
did they cut it out?
I'm almost positive that they.
There wasn't many angles of it, was there?
No, there wasn't many angles,
and it didn't look that bad at the time. You know, it just hit the wall and hit the obviously a great speed. But
who had the broadcast then? Was it CBC still? Remember they CBC?
No, it was TSN.
And they do like an 11:00, 11:30 after Sportsnet.
Well, no, so I don't know what the sports desk like model was at the time, but this race would have been on at 9 a.m. and why they couldn't have aired it at 9 a.m. To be honest, it could have been a satellite thing, could have been a technical thing, or maybe it was a rights deal. But they would regularly run these races, you know, at night, so they could get an audience, I think. But in this particular case, it was, you know, one of the most impactful and sport changing races. And
Vic Router would know.
Later, mm-hmm. Would have been Vic Router.
You would, yeah. I bet it was actually. Yeah, I bet it was.
When I watch F1 and like the broadcast starts, I still hear Vic Router. It's Formula One.
We gave Vic some love. Was it last podcast? Wasn't it
last week?
We're all huge Vic Router fans. Yeah,
me too.
Craig loves the curling, as we now know.
Was any curling on TV yesterday while you were enjoying your
curling?
Birthday?
No, there's no curling going on.
It's not the season.
No, all the producers are playing golf and hanging out.
It's got to be a good.
Is it COVID safe to be in a curling rink in a Bond Spiel?
I don't know. We're going to find out, I guess.
Like curling with gloves.
Hmm.
They haven't done any professional curling events since
during the pandemic.
But are they usually during the pandemic? Oh, I mean,
well, back.
But then when does the season start for curling?
Well, in February, they were doing curling. Kevin Pratt and the producers up there were doing curling in February, March.
Was there a Briar this year or was it canceled?
No.
It was canceled?
No, that was before.
Was it?
Yeah, the Scotties and the Briar. Was,
oh, they got those in?
February, yeah.
Oh.
It's early in the year. But I think the curling season runs from now that the TV, the TV companies are in on it.
We're talking about bloody curling now. Jesus Christ.
Let's get back to football. Sorry, I've totally derailed this.
What do you make of Chelsea against Liverpool?
Well, I mean, obviously going down a man, it's tough to gauge, but they are going to take some bedding in, shall we say. I think it's fair to say, right? Against that Liverpool team, who even before the sending off, I mean, they were, I thought, in control.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, they're looking pretty good. They're looking hungry.
Kepa is having one.
Oh.
What's
happened?
Explain us how a guy that was at one point worth £75 million can become.
Yeah.
I'd be better in goal.
I always wonder who was it that thought he was worth £75 million?
It was strange because it came after Alisson, right? Like soon after. And it was like, what?
It was popular to just spend massive amounts of money on
goalkeepers
who you think is going to be able to.
Is it a confidence issue or is he just shit?
Oh, yeah. Of course, he's just. He's not that. He's a young lad, too.
Can you tell by the way Chelsea play, the defenders play, that they just have no faith in them as well?
No, I don't think it's that. No. I mean, as a defender, you can't rely on that. It's not your decision.
Do you have sympathy for him? As a former keeper, like, do you know what he's going through?
Yes. I mean, you mentioned in one of your tweets about that sorry incident.
Yeah.
When, you know,
he's a dickhead in that situation.
He didn't react very well. But you can't judge somebody on just one thing, but like that.
That's what we do in the media.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like a character defining moment. Like when his time ends, the montage that Sky Sports run is going to absolutely include that. Whether it leads or caps with that, that will be in there.
Scottie Pippen. We still remember, like, if you're thinking about a defining moment for Scotty, he gets when he didn't go on for the last shot.
Yeah.
That Tony Kukoc, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's defined his career. That one thing, even though he won, what, 5 or 6 with Jordan? Could be the same.
Has it really defined his career?
It comes up every single time. Yeah. You talk about
I don't follow
Scotty.
It closely enough.
Yeah.
It comes up a lot. But I think for Kepa, it's thinking that he leaves Chelsea in a failure. Like I can't see him turning it around, them winning titles, and he leaves in 2 years as a winner. Mm-hmm. It's possible, but I don't see that happening.
The problem with him is he's on massive money.
Yeah.
Massive. Has to be.
Yeah. Who can afford him, right?
Yeah, who can
Chelsea
afford
has
him?
To eat some of that.
It'll be like a Real Madrid bail thing where we'll pay her half his wages. Maybe that's not enough.
But there's got to be admirers and supporters of this guy somewhere around, especially in Spain, who knows this. He's young enough that he's very, very good. And that they'll give him a chance, maybe not at those wages, but they'll do a bail deal.
Yeah.
But I mean, put us into his head, like as a goalkeeper that's struggling, is a ball looking smaller? Are you questioning it every time it's coming towards you? Like what is a goalkeeper without confidence?
He's got jitters with everything, the ball being played back to him. I mean, that was a pretty simple ball that it's not difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they do that in training. They'll be doing sessions against the reserves or
rush,
young lads, just saying, okay, you just chase all our players down. We're just going to keep it in our third. And just, you know, they could do that all day. You should be able to do that all day.
Because he didn't seem to be that rushed on that kick.
No.
Right? I mean, I know Mane's got some great, you know, he doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Well, but at first, like, okay, this is a rudimentary clearance. Just get rid of it.
Yeah.
And no, he blows it.
Look, as someone whose athletic career has been devastated by a lack of confidence, I can tell you that's what I see with him. Okay? That's definitely what I see with Kepa.
Everything.
And
he doesn't want shots.
He doesn't
He's been letting them go underneath him in Brighton game.
Yeah. It
back passes.
It truly does seem like he's that player that is just praying the clock goes by faster and that he never sees a shot. Like how many players do you know that would be like, oh, I'd be happy to just do nothing today? Not many. They want to be in on it. Whether, you know, they want to be challenged. Whereas
touching the ball, he'd be delighted.
He just wants to get to the end with nobody talking.
Like Ryan on the weekend.
And he needs a stretch of games because, I mean, the big thing about the Premier League goalies compared to the rest are that you just don't make many mistakes. You know, mm-hmm. The goals that go in and they should go in, and the ones you should save, you save, and you command your box and distribute the ball well. Don't
Simple.
Make mistakes.
Simple.
And some of, well, and the ones you do make, you got to hope you get away with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, did you ever have a season that you struggled? And how did you get out of the funk? Because I wanted to say the word funk.
It's a great word. And you say it very well.
Thank you.
More so coming out of injuries and trying to get your fitness and match sharpness back, seeing the ball really well.
So just was like it, anything, was you know, it was handling like, the ball more or getting used to the game, kind of moving, getting it to the slow point again? Because I know.
Right, exactly.
Like athletically, sometimes things are happening so fast.
Yeah.
You're just like, what the, yeah. Where'd the ball go?
And then other times you're, everything's
it's
happening
slow motion.
So slow.
It's
yeah.
easy.
You talk about that in any sport, baseball hitting the ball or, you know.
So I would think that being your shot stopping comes back quicker than your just commanding and understanding.
Yeah.
Is that fair to
say? It's usually where the mistakes are going to come on decisions.
Yeah.
You know, coming for the through ball and that deficit. You know, are you going to beat Monty by a foot or is he going to beat you by a foot? And
yeah.
Did you get inside your own head a lot or not? Were
oh,
you
yeah,
able
all the
to?
Time.
You would, yeah?
Yeah.
How would you get out of it?
Fuck. He's still trying to figure it out.
A lot of marijuana.
Oh, he's the no. king of his own head.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Can't figure it out. It's like a plate of spaghetti, man. Just turning that fucking shit around.
Is there enough red sauce on that? Yeah, what's going
yeah.
on?
No, but yeah, played on my mind. Jeez, all the time.
Really? So oh, you take it home with you?
All the,
you yeah. wouldn't sleep? Or
yeah,
would you
sleep.
Take
yeah.
it out on the missus? Like,
no.
I'm not suggesting beating her, Jesus. I'm just saying, were you
well,
pregnant?
Neither was
were
I. I wasn't suggesting you were suggesting
the way,
that.
The way you, no.
Yeah.
I mean, would you be tough to live with in those moments, or would you?
No, just retreat.
Retreat, really? Yeah? And how would you?
Just deep in thought, you know, for Thursday, Friday, leading up to the games.
Yeah. Just, but not yourself. You just,
yeah.
I could see.
And I enjoyed night games once I got there, but the whole day dealing with the, thinking of the game going,
yeah.
You know, if I had my choice, I would start at noon.
Mm. Yeah,
noon
get over and done with.
Yeah, you're just straight there, and yeah.
And night games are abnormal anyway, because you, for the most part, you have that 3 o'clock or.
Well, yeah, but you play a lot of midweek Tuesday, Wednesday games.
Yeah,
cup games.
But over the course of the season, I mean, it might be a fifth of, this, of your games are not matinees.
But more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throws off the routine though, because when you're not playing, when your training routine would match a Saturday match day almost, right?
Yeah, but you're usually playing. You'll play the generally 2 games a week.
Yeah.
There'll be something scheduled in there.
Yeah.
So you
right.
2 games a week. I was happy with the 2 games. I like the Saturday, Tuesday, day off Wednesday, recover Thursday, good session Friday.
And did you have a, sorry, I'm so curious of this now, though, talking yeah. about Kepa and that. Did you have, like, a sports psychologist that to within the team or within the league to call up and talk to?
Actually, we did. I mean, going back to Ipswich, even way back in those days, they were quite ahead of the curve as far as having sports psychologists and had some very interesting guys come in.
Were they accepted by the players?
For the most part. Remember a guy, Trevor Putney, everybody was laying on the deck they had to do. This guy is laying, he's speaking softly and he's like trying to get into the heads of the players and imagine you know a ball coming into the box and you're just striking it perfectly into the top corner and you're just
realization
realization, you know, this going through your head and this is going over and over. Sure, funny because you know, fucking hell, I keep hitting the crossbar. And the manager, fuck no, Putney, it's always you making a joke. You ruin everything. Yeah. And then so Bobby Ferguson started.
Is Putney the one who kept his Johnson out during the photos?
Yes. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Ruined good memory, Wonger. Of course, wow. That's what you remember.
Yeah, Trevor I've been Putney. In that that's place right. where I
he
ruined
was
a photo
absolutely
or two.
Absolutely legendary. Yeah. Took the photo, his lunch kit hanging out. And they printed thousands and thousands of these massive posters, right, for fans and whatever. And they don't even realize until after they're all printed that he's got his todger out.
That's amazing. Yeah. Trevor Putney.
Yeah.
Where's he now? I think we discussed this before, haven't we? Do you know what he's doing?
I don't know what he's doing.
Would he be a good guest in the
He'd be in London somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever lose your position to poor form? Even for a few games?
Yeah, I would think so. Mostly injuries, though, or something like that came up. Yeah. But yeah.
I mean, I can imagine that's got to be so difficult as an athlete, especially a goalkeeper, to be told, you know what? You're just not good enough right now. We're bringing in the number two is now the number one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to get inside.
Well, I mean, there came a time when I was in my 30s where when Richard Wright was coming through at Ipswich.
Yeah, he was in the heels, right?
I mean, Richard was great and great kid and worked with him when he was a 12-year-old. He was a fantastic goalkeeper. I always thought he would play for England, which he did. I just thought he would play more. He was just a really hungry kid.
He came through
when he went to Arsenal and then went to Everton.
Yeah. Chris Kirkland came through the same time, didn't he?
I think he was happy making a lot of money on the bench.
Oh, yeah. So didn't have that.
Carlo Cudagini.
They went to Man City and was fourth string on $1 million a year.
Yeah.
I think that, because he was going to, Frank Yellett wanted him at San Jose. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'll sign him in a heartbeat. But it's like, he can go to Man City and make five times as much more than I can pay him here. And he doesn't have to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he didn't obviously want to play bad enough.
I could take that role quite easily, couldn't you?
Fourth
string. Well, you get to a stage. You get to a stage in your career where yes, you can. Yeah, yeah.
The hunger. Do you? Is there a moment when that hunger goes, or you sense it tangibly disappearing? That you haven't.
Well, you know your age. Your age as well, but you know if you. Like I was there. So when I got into my 17th, 18th year,
it's a long time. Long career. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long time. So I was really quite happy with the way things went, and West Ham was a ton of fun. Playing or not playing, it was just always great characters.
There's a few goalkeepers that, you know, I think we think of that the position as being an older man's position, right? And it's starting to shift now. Obviously, the money for Kepa, I think Alisson's only, what, 26, maybe 28. But you think about some of these guys, and Pickford's one of them, who have a lot of success really early. Then they get to about 30, and they just kind of fall by the wayside. I mean, obviously, Joe Hart, to me, stands out.
Yeah.
The Bosnian who played for Canada under 20, old Stoke keeper.
Oh, Begovic.
Steven Begovic, yeah. Who's – is he at the back of a Juventus now? But there was a period, there where he just
sweet
had fallen off. He was the second guy at Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Right? And even though he's just, you know, early 30s.
I think it comes down to – guys that want to go to the 36, 37, 38 is down to money.
Yeah.
He's been making a ton of money. Mm-hmm. Another one, you sit at Chelsea making $4 million a year doing nothing. And after a couple of years of that, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Now, if you have to play to get your paycheck, things change.
Yeah.
He's at Milan right now, by the way.
AC Milan. Okay.
Yeah,
he had been playing.
See, that's a great club to be sitting at if you're back up.
Could be worse.
Right?
Yeah, could be worse.
Great experience. That's what I always found, like, with even guys that go to play in China, yeah, they're doing it just for the money, but guys like Terry, who went, obviously wasn't making a massive amount of money, but what an experience.
Yeah, to see the world.
Right.
Just culturally to discover that, right?
Because you're great in it.
I think I've said before, I've got so much respect for players that maybe not have the quality to be a top league player, you know, the whole careers, but they allow the game to travel the world and experience.
Well, the guys on the CPL, you're like guys playing in Azerbaijan, Hungary. And
when you retire, you got some stories to tell.
Yeah.
Right? Your life's
Belarus.
Not boring.
What the fuck?
I mean, I think they'd all rather be making, you know, $2 million a week playing at the.
Yeah, but they just love it so much.
Still.
Yeah. But still, you get to a stage in your life if you're making that sort of money and you're like, you know, do I start the. Build something else when I'm in my late 20s making.
It's that moment, right, when you realize I'm not going to make it.
That's when you
got to
hope you have a family that's supporting you through it all.
Yeah.
Which is rare in football.
Could you imagine the Amazon Prime documentary when Rowan Ricketts went to India?
Any that of his clubs would be great. Yeah.
Any of his clubs would have been
great. It would have been
he must have had some classics that on camera would have been amazing.
Yep.
I think there's a YouTube series, or that maybe there was until there was like a FIFA court incident. But when he was in Moldova, that was kind of at the start of this 24/7. Every team would do their own type of, I was going to say filmography, but their own type of documentary content. And it was Ricketts doing it all. And so I remember some of these clips, like they were fishing for their own lunch. Now maybe this was supposed to be a recreational day, but that absolutely was the deal. If you didn't catch in this pond, you were not eating. right? At this retreat that they were on. And they're all in their track tops in the middle of Moldova, right? And just, you'd see like
what
a couple of...
What lesson is that teaching them?
I'm trying to think.
There's got to be a psychological reason for this exercise. You know?
If you don't catch a fish, you're not
teach a man to fish.
Is that listen, you're going to be hungry. Yeah.
It's not difficult, Charms.
It's actually because you can't afford to feed you. You have to go and catch your own fish.
Got no money.
Have you had Ricky on here before?
No, we haven't.
That Moldova experience, that was a time for
him. He ended up going through FIFA, I think, didn't he?
That's what it was referring to,
yeah.
I mean, he played everywhere.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys, though, wherever he's laying his hat's home, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, he could go anywhere in the world.
He meets people and makes friends wherever he goes. Yeah,
he does, yeah.
He's quite a character.
Yeah, he really is. But, yeah, do you think, I mean, talking back to being, the psychological aspect of football and goalkeepers, do you have some sympathy and understanding of strikers? Because both positions you're seen, you stand out more than a midfielder or a defender.
Yeah.
Right, and you're gauged on how well you play in goal and how many saves you make and how many goals you score as a striker.
Yeah. Yeah, really, I mean, you look at where... This is another reason why I think even goalkeepers playing out or at some stage in their career or even training, getting understanding of the geography and the differences it is for players, then they kind of understand. That's when I understood when I went to England, communication, and that's why it's so important, because I always thought about communication, didn't know what to say as a goalie, being a young goalie to seniors, and what do I say, you know?
In the room you're talking about?
Or on the field. Like the way, hold, like, you know, man on, you know.
Because, I mean, you have to be commanding. A good goalkeeper will yell and scream at his defenders.
I remember being 16, I was like, have it away. And they went, have it away? That's like shagging the missus. Have it away. Yeah. So, like, you know what I mean? So I was just like, oh, geez, no. All of a sudden, it's like my terminology isn't right.
So when did you feel comfortable in goal? What point at Ipswich did you say, I actually feel now part of the boys. I can say what I want to whoever. 16's tough, obviously.
16, probybably 19.
19, yeah.
Yeah.
3 years at the club at that point, you're pretty cemented there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it feels like a lifetime.
And 19, you were the number one at that point too, right?
Yeah, 19.
Well, I just looked up Trevor Putney as maybe the worst Wikipedia I've ever seen. Basically just says Trevor Putney was a former football player.
Yeah.
That's it. It's like no idea where he is. Legend. But the other thing is he's 7 years older than Craig.
Yeah.
So there were like full grown, like at 19... talking about the, you know, the locker room or even on field.
Yeah.
It must have been hard to find your voice sometimes when you're
I was lucky because
35-year-old man.
I was really fortunate because Frank Yallop was 3 years older than me. Family living in New Westminster, British Columbia, and knew him briefly before I actually went over there. So he was a great guy to go, you know, and then he was in the first team. So we used to hang out and go out and just sort of got into, you know, going out with the first team players as a youngster. And
yeah, it really helps, right? Having that arm around your shoulder.
Yeah.
A guy that's already part of the group.
Yeah.
And is respected by his teammates, right? Yeah. Like, this kid's all right.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I had that experience at the Score with Sharman.
Did you?
I was like, because the Sharman brought me around. So then, you know, for at least while the time Sharman was there, some of those other guys had to act like they respected me.
Yep, exactly. I said, listen, stick with me, B. We'll take care of you. You know, I'm going to give you your first shot at live television. Okay, don't fuck it up. B shows up late for that first show.
Did he?
I don't remember that, but I did have a beard.
You were late for your first. You made it on air.
I had a beard. This is the one when you threw to me as like our official Portugueser.
Maybe.
As he said that, that's what he said. And there was like this, it was this beautiful passing jib shot. He's like, he's like, for all you Portuguesers out there that say I hate you, it's not true. Now we have one of our own. And he throws to me. And just as he says that and the jib pans, I'm thinking, my name is going to come up. Yeah. Brendan Dunlop. No one's going to understand that. And then sure enough, this is before Twitter. This was like Facebook. After the show, I'll get back to the desk and I have these three messages from Portuguese names, people who weren't friends, strangers I didn't know. And one of them was just, explain. Hey, did Sharman say you're Portuguese? How's that? Hey, man, are you Portuguese? I think I heard that on TV.
They didn't see you barbecuing mackerel in the backyard?
It
would have been so much easier if your dad was Portuguese.
You could change your name.
I like my name.
It's a great name, but it's just a bit confusing, that's all.
It is a bit good golf balls, I guess.
Dunlop, yeah, and good shoes and tennis rackets.
Right.
I'm wearing, no, I'm not wearing Dunlops. However, these Addies I'm wearing were based on the old school
Dunlop tennis shoe.
Dunlop tennis shoe, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, on grass, those ones.
That's right, yeah. Back in the day. Dunlop, we used to call you, didn't we?
I have it on the back of a couple of co-ed league shirts.
You also have Ronaldo, don't you?
That was another one.
Dear God.
That was a high school nickname.
What a twat.
Dear God. If Ronaldo only knew.
Please don't take your shirt off, B.
Speaking of Ronaldo, did he not just score those 18 straight seasons he scored in a league?
Top flight. Yeah.
He's 18 flight. Straight.
18 well, straight.
2003, he joined United.
There you go.
Pirlo's first that 11 is, looked interesting.
That is insane when you think about it. No, we've just got so numb to the fact that him and Messi are just...
That's so true. All those right? records, that what they have been doing, we just take it for granted.
Everybody like, just and wants to compare the two of them.
Yeah, how about we just celebrate
18 years,
each guy.
Like, it's like the guy just... That's a incredible. Robot.
It's incredible.
And still in the Ballon d'Or conversation every year. Yeah.
Yes. He's what, 36?
We won't appreciate
it. He will be 36 in February.
We won't appreciate it until they retire, you know, which for Ronaldo might be another 10 years from now. But, you know, we won't really appreciate them until then. And we realize, man, there's some really good players right now. That Mbappe kid's really good. That Alexander Arnold's really good. But you know what? They're just not quite Messi and Ronaldo.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen, I think.
I mean, well, can you? Look at Zlatan now. Not at that level, but he's playing at AC Milan at 38 after having spent 2 years or a year and a half in MLS.
Yeah,
I can definitely see Ronaldo playing at PSG, you know, somewhere else in Europe before going to China or
Miami.
Mike Tyson is
playing in Miami.
Roy Jones Jr. Right?
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
We did. Yeah, and Tyson looks incredible. He's 54 now.
Yeah,
right, and he's trying all sorts of stuff: stem cell therapy, yada yada. You know, 54 now is not what it used to be. 33 is not what it used to be. 53, Craig.
53 is exactly what it used to be.
Well, you try and sign up for some stem cell therapy.
What was the?
There's got to be something in Toronto somewhere that does it. Give it a whirl.
No, no. You got to go to Croatia for that. you got to go to Croatia for that. What was the... Remember...
It was a blood. It was cow's blood, wasn't it?
No, placenta.
Placenta.
It was like cow's placenta. This Croatian woman...
That was when Beckham did his metatarsal, wasn't it?
Beckham might have been the star.
He was sent out to...
They eat it or lay on it or lay it on you?
No, they... Did they inject it into them?
I think that's what it was.
And they it might have been a double thing. They would rub it on the outside and then they actually injected some of it into you.
So there's no probably scientific evidence that...
Just the bounce back, like whoever this star was.
That could be, though, stem cell therapy related to that because the placenta is so rich in nutrients, and I'm sure, isn't it? That's why animals eat the placenta when they give birth. Animals do that because it's so, so good and so rich in nutrients and minerals.
No, because remember they had Michael J. Fox.
They'll eat anything.
Michael J. Fox with his Parkinson's, they did a stem cell thing in his brain, and they said it worked out a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, popped his cap and shot some stem cells into his brain.
Really?
But a cow's placenta is a different level. That's not quite the same.
Why? Horse
You're
placenta.
So dismissive.
Oh, sorry, horse
it was
placenta.
Definitely, as soon as he said cow's
was it
placenta,
horse?
I knew it was wrong.
Keep
horse
placenta. Well, all placenta is obviously full of nutrients.
But I just remember, this goes back to being at the Footy Show daily, and this was what we were talking about. I don't know if it was Rooney, it was some prominent person, and then some American went. And it was like Tony Romo or somebody had heard of this star that in Europe that did it, and then they went. Came back and were successful.
If you Google horse placenta, it comes up horse placenta benefits, and then after that, horse placenta face mask.
Oh, God.
Something to think about.
Lay that on your
face. The benefits, it is proven that horse placenta has more than 300 essential nutrients and safe to use. It helps strengthen your skin, exfoliates dead skin, and naturally brightens your complexion.
But there's other ways to take the same nutrients and ingest them. You know what I mean?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Given the choice, I'd rather find some...
We should get an expert on.
Yeah.
Life has become a whole bunch of people
mate,
just...
McKechnie would know, wouldn't he?
No.
No?
I bet you
well,
would.
Actually,
yeah.
He text him now.
Whether it's
text him.
Horse shit or not. Or
text placenta. Him right now and just say, is horse placenta an appropriate, a viable therapy treatment for injuries, or is it bullshit?
Okay. Oh, but then you're opening it up to...
Yeah, maybe he'll go, well, we need to have a conversation about
Well, in that
this.
Case, we'll bring
oh,
him
no,
on.
No, no, no.
I want a podcast just dedicated to horse placenta.
You've already made this a nightmare
Actually,
for
he
Wonger.
Should, he
He's going to change
on.
The category.
Get Alex on, and he'll go through the whole bubble experience.
Yeah, you should do, actually. It'd be interesting. Yeah.
I
want to hear about stem cell therapy. I want to hear about horse placenta. I want to hear about bubbles. I want to hear about what the hell happened to Pascal Siakam.
And Kawhi. What the hell happened to Kawhi?
Didn't have Alex. Therapy. Or is it bullshit? All right.
We've got
10 minutes left of this podcast.
I'm sure the listeners loved kind of hearing that.
Alex McKechnie, for those who don't know, is the brains behind the medical side of the Toronto Raptors and made Kawhi Leonard amazing for 1 year.
Yeah.
And then a failure the next.
Load management.
Yep.
That's Alex McKechnie's. He phrased it.
did he actually coin the term himself?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I mean, obviously the process.
He was probably the most hated man, and then the most loved man.
Well, there's a lot
man.
For him to deal with. Like, as a first of all signing, was he going to be fit? Because he had only played, I think, 9 games of previous season.
Exactly 9. Yeah.
Is just, you know, we're trading away
our right? best player.
So yeah. A lot of pressure on Alex to say whether is he going to stand up,
right?
And with load management and managing the season and being prepared for when it matters. On the first day of the playoffs and playing every other day through the rest of the season, that was the goal. Managed it perfectly.
Here's a great social idea.
He's probably golfing.
Yeah, probably.
put a poll on Twitter after you post this. Who's under the most pressure? Strikers, goalkeepers, or Alex McKechnie? Who
Fair
feels
enough.
The most pressure?
Okay. We'll do
Who
that.
Feels the most pressure?
We'll yeah. do that.
I mean, yeah, I don't know Alex very, very well, but he doesn't seem a guy that's under much pressure. He seems pretty chill.
Yeah.
Fair to say.
Yeah, I was a little concerned with him down there, you know, mentally. I thought he might be a little having some trouble. He's like, no, I golfed 45 rounds in 60 days.
Then he snuck you
and
in for a cuddle.
And as a Scotsman, he's more happy that he gets 6 free balls every round, brand new ones. And he says, you know, max, I'm going to use 3. So you can imagine how many sleeves he's got.
Highly paid. Sports.
Yeah, he can afford his own golf balls, and he's just so happy that he gets a half a dozen new ones every
day.
Listen,
even the rich like a bargain.
Although when he did come on our show, it was the same night he showed us the text, we can talk about it now, that he got his job offer at that Can US after that podcast. He got his job offer from MLSC to stick around.
That's right.
So that was pretty cool.
That's right, yeah.
So you're tied together forever.
It's because of us, kind of, that.
Not really.
Job offer, right?
Maybe after they sorted out Nick Nurse, he's got the contract, long contract.
NBA
who's the next Masai? And then go down the list. And
that's Bobby Webster, then Masai.
And then maybe.
Yeah, because Masai said he wanted to take care of Bobby and Nick before he worries about negotiating with
you
his
You should
stuff.
Start like a basketball podcast.
Who? Jim Rats and Joints,
there
the basketball
Give it
podcast.
A whirl,
How about we do a shout out for that?
It is outstanding. Again, what's it called?
Jim Rats and Joints.
I like that. It's a great name, actually.
Thanks, man.
It's very good. Is that your
Appreciate
idea?
It was.
Oh, surprising.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Quite creative you, aren't you?
Oh, sometimes, I imagine.
You just...
Just yeah. things come off my brain.
Yeah. Do you think in their contract extensions, be it Masai, be it Bobby Webster, be it whoever, Nick Nurse, is there an area there where they talk about how much horse placenta they are allowed?
We're going to find out.
Yeah. This is the big thing.
I just hope that he's not playing golf and he can reply before this ends. And I'd see you with the phone out.
He's probably wondering, like, that's just right out of left field. Right?
Is he back yet? Is he back in Toronto or in
no,
Vancouver?
No, he just went straight to Vancouver.
Right.
Because I was going to pick him up at the airport. But I couldn't. Because I was actually working on that Saturday.
But doesn't he have to be quarantined for 14 days?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All this time, we haven't talked about all three of you have been CPLing it, the Island Games. B did his play-by-play.
Great job, by the way, B.
Throwing it in.
Outstanding.
Craig was on CBC. You were on One Soccer.
That's right.
How was that? How do you guys feel about it?
It was great. I really enjoyed it. I mean, in fairness, I didn't cover much CPL. A little bit here and there, interviewed the commissioner. Generally speaking, the show that I was on and Craig was on a lot, of course, One Nation was football in general, right? These guys were more CPL specific, Craig and CBC and B, of course, calling the games.
Charm's going to name you 3 players.
I could, but don't test me.
Yeah, exactly.
I bloody could.
10, you'd be struggling.
He'd get all the Eastern European names correct, though. He would.
Yeah.
The itches over icks. There you go.
I watched a lot of the games.
It was, you know what, all in all, it was definitely worthwhile doing. I think the CPL and everybody with a shoestring budget put together a pretty good show. I think from a broadcast standpoint, they did a really good
job
out there.
Yeah. Blair
Tetro and those guys out there that were in the bubble for all that time.
Mm-hmm. It did look slick. I think it did. A huge success that they were able to pull it off. And, you know, a legit... It counts as a legit season to me. Obviously abbreviated, and you'd hope to never be in this situation again where you only have some teams playing seven games in a whole calendar year. But to have put together a 4TV entertaining package, I thought it was very good.
I like it.
And the quality was
entertaining. How'd you do the you did your play-by-play. How did you approach the work? Because these guys, like we said in the elevator, you might know five of them. How did you know all their names? What was your approach for broadcast?
There was a lot of coaches' chats. There was a lot of reading. I would find myself going down these wormholes and hope that Wikipedia pages were better than Dave Portnoy, or who was it you were looking
Putney.
At?
Putney. Trevor.
Apologies. I think
Dave Putney.
I think Dave Portnoy is the head of
Bar Down. Barstool Sports.
Barstool, excuse me.
Douchebag.
So yeah, I was a lot of local reading I find, and but that's where you found a ton of information. You know, the League One Ontario site had plenty of stories of these guys, and
not easy though, because the information on these players isn't. You know, it's easier to do it. You could do a Premier League game in 5 minutes. You know, you just information's everywhere, and then you just have it constantly coming at you if you wanted to keep your computer open. But these guys, obviously, the information's not ideal. So, I mean, I mentioned to the commissioner, Glanikin, that you should do a good job, get somebody in the PR to feed the guys doing that with some human interest stories, you know, some background story. Because, like, what are you going to talk about? Oh, he was at TFC's youth team and Vancouver's U team, and well,
some of those guys had great stories because I mean they've a lot of those guys, obviously not so much the young guys, but a lot of those players have been around, so to speak, you know, in professional football.
Yeah,
and it's not a tough gig, not an easy gig. Yeah. Sorry, it's very hard for them, right?
And but all those guys, you think where would they all be playing? They would just disappear. They're just kind of
they might not be playing, right?
They would no, they
a
wouldn't
lot of them
be.
Wouldn't be playing.
No,
yeah,
and then for. I really think it's great. I think the MLS team should use it with their young players, put them in that professional environment. I know the Leafs kind of like they don't want to go that way, but why not?
Yeah.
You know, let's be fair. It's a development league.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's fine.
Yeah.
It can
fine.
Be successful.
If three or four guys come out of this tournament and they get bigger contracts wherever in some other league, good for them.
Yeah, I think that's what the league wants as well. I mean, ideally, that advertises the league when they can sell, you know, good players for a fee.
Yeah.
That just will encourage more players to try the CPL and make it more relevant.
And does Hamilton Forge get to take part in the Canadian Championships?
They're playing TFC in the final this year. This year.
Fucking cool is that?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But
it's really good. And they're not a bad side, by the way.
They're a good team.
They're balanced,
they're so
right?
deep.
They're right? balanced, which is, they are deep.
And Bobby Smyrniotis? How good? I mean, said at CBC, it's just giving these guys an opportunity because. We don't give them opportunities, Canadians, in our own country. They're not going to get chances anywhere else. That's for sure. Because we just don't, you know, we're just not in that. This is the perception thing again, right? So,
well, we saw last year, we saw some of the CPL teams give the MLS teams a real run for their money. Vancouver lost to the Cavalry, for example.
Oh, right? If Montreal or Vancouver would have, say, snuck through that, Montreal.
York 9 should have been in Montreal. Venice last
year. I would take Cavalry or Forge over Vancouver at the moment.
Think about that.
Yeah, in a one-off game.
In a one-off, like...
Well, you look at how well that Forge played, too, because, you know, it's almost as if they just dangle... Bobby Smyrniotis is so smart that he just dangles doubt out there for everyone else, constantly tinkering with his lineup, you know, to make you wonder, well, I don't know what his best 11 is. Like, has he seen it yet? Will we be able to see it? Are there injuries? What are you dealing with?
I don't even know if he knows what his... best 11 is that you know
but he also doesn't need to because he's got a best 18 that he could run through. Managers at any
they
level
drilled like that Akeem Garcia up front, obviously the main threat
for Halifax,
Morelli, and they've done really really well as a tandem. They just don't give him any wide play, don't get him like force everything in the middle,
they shut them
congest
down.
And they were doing the tactical fouls late in the game where they were just like hassle foul. How's a foul? It was just like we've seen massive teams try to do that.
I think the really exciting thing too, and as evidence was in that final with the Canadian Premier League, is you see the experience of David Edgar, who's played in the Premier League, obviously scored right. in the Premier League. The Belgian players who have some more international experience
yeah.
mixed around these Canadian players who have had opportunities or not had the biggest opportunities. Mo Babouli was an absolute star. You could have given man of the match. Honors could have been.
Great.
There were periods in that tournament where you thought, "Oh, this might be the end of the road for Mo." He's not been able to show.
Well, he was trying to play for the arena thing that fell apart.
My God, his quality though, and you can see exactly why adding him into that side.
Yeah, it's Kyle Becker should be playing at a higher level. I think.
I think he should be getting an MLS shout right? again. Yeah,
I think he should get a phone call. A squad player.
Yeah,
it wouldn't cost you much.
Who knows?
What about Marco Bustos?
Good guy, good professional.
Marco Bustos. Superb. Yeah. Absolute quality player in that league, and it's
in that league. I wonder about his like intelligence and once you get up against some defenders that know how to play you.
But wouldn't an MLS team, for example, at least take a flyer on him and say, "Listen, we're going to at least invite this guy."
They haven't, have they?
No, I know.
And he's playing like he's got something to prove because he's like thinks he's been left out.
Yeah,
this could have been a good window for that. I think that this
is he physically strong enough.
I wondered that as well, and there's a lot of smaller wingers in football at every level.
Yeah,
but
they're not necessarily
MLS,
weak.
But in thinking about MLS though, I don't know. There's something I see these towering defenders that would make him look considerably smaller, and I wonder if that's why he hasn't made the jump already, and why he hasn't had the phone calls yet. But I mean, absolute quality player.
Yeah, he really is.
Lethal left foot.
Yeah.
Marco Bustos should get a phone call. And with the strange times that we're in now, maybe he's, been able to use that stage and we'll get right. that phone call.
Yeah.
Well, as important as seeing a player take the next step, I think when you start seeing the coaches take a step as well, that's really important.
Yeah.
Bobby Smyrniotis has come through the academy system with Sigma and now gets a gig at the CPL. And listen, give him some more time. But I mean,
and he had a head start because he knew those players so well.
Yeah,
they know
he's
him.
Entrenched in Canadian soccer, Ontario soccer in particular.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
But why not give these guys a chance? Yeah. You know, he's an ambitious guy. You know, he spent a lot of time in Europe. You know, with Ajax in particular. At what point will they be given an opportunity at a bigger club, bigger league to showcase their ability?
I think that'll be exciting, and that's a great. Great level that the league should be aspiring to, where it's not just the players that are getting promoted and have an opportunity, but the coaches as well to ply their trade at home.
Yeah,
it's huge.
And
professionally.
No disrespect to Vanny or that at all, but why not in Canada? Why aren't we promoting our Canadian coaches?
Yep,
plenty of them out there. The great playing experience. Good. Yeah. I mean, Nick Dazovic is a good example of pro license.
Mm-hmm.
Good manager, great with kids. Great, I mean, he's with the Whitecaps set up, But when Toronto was really sucking, and they went basically to the league, and said we need help after making so many bad decisions for 5 years, the league were like, perfect, we're gonna pay Brezhnevchenko, who did a great job, but it's like we're gonna give these opportunities to Americans, Vanny, so it became it's an American club.
Mm-hmm.
In Canada, do the owners care? They don't give a shit.
They don't know when they're winning.
No, when they're winning. Right. And developing Canadian, don't care.
But when Vanny leaves eventually, and at some point he'll probably want a new challenge, right? The club's already got its foundation. It's a successful club with good players.
Expectations.
Great opportunity to bring in a quality Canadian coach.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they do. I really do.
Danny DiCchio might be Canadian by then.
Hey, Dos Anjos has got his chance in Vancouver, but I mean, just shows you sort of how well Carl Robinson actually did with that, with what he had to deal with.
Yeah, no kidding.
No superstars.
Just being out there, yeah.
All right, guys, this podcast went like nowhere where I thought it would go, which is good. It's a good podcast, actually. It's been one of the stranger ones, I think.
Yeah, and fastest hour.
I know.
It did fly by. When you talk about, when you talk about Dunlop's father's exploits in auto racing, it tends to just
and that's evaporate. That's going to just draw in the audience.
Curling.
Well.
So I'm 1/16th Portuguese, just so you know.
Oh, wow.
Manuel is my family's last name on that side.
He's 1/16th everything.
I am. Keep your daughters at home.
I must take that test. Was it called the test?
Being a creep as
23
well.
23 and me is 23 what we and used. Me. Yeah, my family.
Yeah. His daughter, his daughters are just like cover the globe.
Yeah.
Different.
Sub-Saharan is the only part we have don't have.
Sub-Saharan?
Yeah. Sub-Saharan. So,
well, you're kind of well. You,
but we have Madagascar and the north of Africa.
So what is Sub-Saharan?
So
Sub-Saharan.
Like,
yeah. What Africa. Is it?
Is it like full
you're
African?
The desert?
No. Yeah. Like full Africa.
That part.
Tune into next week's podcast when we explain deserts and geography to James.
Exactly. Sub-Saharan?
Sub-Sahara.
Oh, Sahara. Yeah, Sub-Sahara.
Sahara.
Oh, I thought it said Sub-Saharan, though.
Yeah.
It's your accent.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Too strong.
It was just, that was a Portuguese
My French-Canadian. My French-Canadian-Chinese Ottawa accent. So hard
Sub-Sahara. Or Sub-Saharan would be fun as well. I would imagine.
I want to speak to Jeff and see if I can sub in to do the intro for that.
You can.
For that show when you... Hey, on this podcast, James talks about geography.
The Sub-Saharan.
is that what medication you're on?
Accents, people.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got to go. I don't
learn anything outside of football.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just focused
Thank
so much
God.
On the...
It should be a warning. Do not... Listen to anything.
Well, thanks a lot, BD, for showing up.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for pinch hitting for Dicchio. You make this go easy.
Did you enjoy your play-by-play?
I did, honestly. Yeah, it was great.
Not having a color guy, would you probably find it easier just having a little respite?
In a way, I feel like whatever the next experience will be, will be easier in having someone next to you and doing it live. I really think. You know, doing it off of tube is it was a baptism by fire that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see him.
Just when you work with other people, it's just them as well when they come in.
And finding the timing,
You know, just finding timing and knowing each other well enough to know the gaps and, But I would think it'd be easier having somebody else to lean on sometimes.
Just to bounce off of, I think.
Or even while they're chatting.
There were definitely times where I noticed, I'm like, my body language is I'm just talking to myself. And leaning, falling to one side, you'd flip a paper here and realize, I've just been talking to myself for 47 minutes.
Never done that before.
Never
How
done
bizarre.
That before.
Non-stop.
I really enjoyed it. It was a cool experience.
Good job, man. That's not easy. No fans to feed off the energy. Stuck in the booth by yourself, that is a challenge. So well done.
Need more Portuguese guys to score golaços, though.
Because if you were actually at a York 9 game in the crowd, it's a
big difference.
All seven of them.
Yeah. Well, all their mums and dads.
Hey, there's a few thousand.
Yeah. Next season, Dylan Carrero owes me a.
you can say that because your mates are Jimmy, so you can make fun of them.
Hope Jimmy's going to do okay.
Yeah.
Dylan Carrero owes me a golaço next season, I've told him.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed that, everyone. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, Craig. Thank you. What's your name again? Wonger. That's it. And JC, Deitch is back next week, we assume.
Never know.
I'm James. Cheers for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.